as we have to adjust. And because the snowflakes are falling, and that. So what we'll do is do it a little different. And in the process, in the light of our looking at God's providence, his foreseeing and foreknowing, to see, to foreknow, he has the whole painting, he has the whole picture before we ever begin. So everything that's going to be in the picture and how it's outworked a month from now is already in the mind of God. A year from now, it's already in the mind of God. So nothing's going to solve there. That's good news, because God is going to do whatever's happening in this world. And the wickedness and all of that evil, darkness, the direction it's going, and it isn't going to change. The direction that it's going, all of that is there. But all of that is going to yield, to God's outworking. And all of that's going to disappear. All of that's going. And what will be left is God's wonderful program and purpose. So that's what you're looking at. So it's there, but it's not going to be there tomorrow. Everything in our life that we're going through and will go through is here. But tomorrow it won't be there. It's gone. In God's wonderful providential working. So over in the light of that, easiest and personal, over to the book of Job and reminding ourselves in chapter 1. And remember, Job is living. Did you think of Genesis 11? The nations are all divided, all spread out. Genesis 10, all spread out everywhere. And as those nations are all over the place, there is an Abraham over there near the Euphrates. Over there he's going to come out of idolatry. But before Abraham comes on the scene, Job is there. Abraham could have been there, but Job's a little ahead of him, perhaps. So in the process, here's Job. And Job is a Gentile. There's only Gentiles. There's no Israel existent. There's no covenants existent. It's before all of that. Job is the oldest record is recorded. And it was never from square one in the Old Testament. They never questioned Job. And Job lived 140 years after Job 42, after he goes through everything. So he easily could have written, and no one else could write except God giving somebody the book of Job the way it is. And it was a super book. Now, so therefore, and Job is a believer. Here's all the unbelievers. Abraham's going to be the first believing Jew, ultimately believer. He's a Gentile. And here's Job out there. Now, there's other believers, but they aren't in the majority. So we come to Job, and remember in chapter 1, and picking up in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and this man was perfect, complete, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He shunned evil. He avoided evil. How did he avoid evil when it was there everywhere? How did he avoid it? And you'll notice in verse 1, he feared God. He feared God. That's what he did. He was fearing God, participle. He was fearing God. And that's what he kept. He was very God conscious. His family was not of the same mind as Job. And so when you slide down to chapter 1, you'll read in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting was gone, his sons had gone, about that Job sent and sanctified them. Well, I got to read a little, or you won't get the context. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So they're feasting, they're into idolatry of some form. So when we come to verse 5, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, feasting for the whatever the reasons were, that Job sent and sanctified them. In other words, Job said, get back, you gotta look to God. He set them apart. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. That's what he did. In other words, he was concerned about his family and he prayed for them. That's what he did. He offered a burnt offering. He was concerned for them. And an offering. And according to the number of them, all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was really concerned that they were there and they could have cursed God. Now, without doing that, but it's just for interest, and I can't even take time to do it. But in the Hebrew Bible, the original, the language when you had it, and all of that in your Hebrew Bible, Old Testament. And the Jews, when they did what they did in the Bible, they were very concerned about things, even pronouncing the name and all of that. And here is one of those places where you see the word cursed in verse 5. Now, in the original Hebrew language, that's the word, cursed, to blaspheme. And the Jews, when they were making a copy, didn't want to say that because they're reading, as they read the Bible, they didn't want to come to this and read and blaspheme, and they cursed God in their hearts. They don't want that to be said from their mouth. They don't want it to be said. I will not. Don't say curse God. Now, what did they do? They took and put the word blessed up there in place of cursed. But in the Bible, they put a little note in the Bible. We took it out and put in blessed. And they don't tell you why, but that's why. We don't want to have to be read, when we read the Bible, which you didn't, read the Bible, we don't want to say, we blaspheme God. We don't want it coming out of our mouth. So we're going to say, bless God. Now, if you want to do it someday, and you never will, and look at all the different languages and lexicons and all of that, and they go through great rigors trying to make blessed come out to fix the context. Do you understand? Instead of, they don't want us, the blessing is right there if you read it. But it's like a little note, they said, we took it out over here so you know why it says blessed, because we put cursed. We didn't want cursed in there. So here we are reading and going. And so we don't want to say that to curse God. And thus, the lexicons, etc., and the commentaries are all over the place trying to make blessed be cursed. Do you understand a little bit? I just do that for you. Why? I want you to know when you say, how do I know the Bible's true? Who wrote the Bible? How many people wrote the Bible? I want you to know how awesome when you get all the little details. God has wonderfully kept his word in the original language, and you ought to be assured of it. And here's a case in point. So someone said, well, but then why did God say that? Then you have to do a little research and hang on, because it's going to come out right, no matter how you do it. So you don't need to ever do it, and no one does. I never did it yet. I haven't even started. And I've never found a place yet in God's word. I know places you can't come up with an answer. I know them already. Yeah, there's no answer for them. God, we don't have it. It's fine. It's fine. Relax. Now, that took all the time, but I just share it with you because it's of interest to understand. So it's cursed. Cursed is the right translation in the King James, and it says cursed. So not only did they blaspheme God, that was their danger, but so the devil comes along, because here's Job concerned about his family. How his family, are they saved and all that? So when we come, Satan's going to go, and he has access, and he is very concerned. And obviously, of all the people on planet Earth, Job is one that he is looking into rather specifically. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth, shuns evil? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Job only fears you because you give him all these wonderful things. Verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hath blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? And he was very, very rich. He has super duper duper candle. He has camels and oxen and sheep and goats. He has everything. he has lots of everything. Like Abraham, he had a lot of stuff, and God did that for him, and God protected him, and all of that. And he planted a hedge. So God honors the believing heart in a most wonderful way. Point. God honors, here we are, believers, in the snowflakes coming down. And God honors us in the middle of all the snowflakes and everything that's going on. Nothing is going to come. The snow's not going to come through the roof, and the roof isn't going to fall in. God's going to do it. If God wants it, nothing to say. But if God doesn't want it, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. So here comes the snowflakes. Here comes, and God, what are you going to do? You're protecting Job. I put a hedge around him. And here we are, believers. And you're housing, a believer houses God in Christ, in their heart. You can't get safer, no matter how, like we said, a steamroller could be going over you. And all of that, and you're safe as can be, even though your body's going to get slaughtered, because nothing's going to change. The relationship, as we've shared, and the outworking of it, the picture, it has to be finished, no matter how you do it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so Satan is allowed to go and test him, and though he does, and so Job, as you know, goes from trouble to trouble to trouble to trouble, all at once. His one day, and his servants, his sons, his family, the idolaters, maybe, they're all gone. They're all gone. His cattle taken, the Sabaeans come, take them all away, and he has lost everything in one day. Now you can't do, that's pretty bad. You didn't just lose your job, you lost your house, you lost your clothes and everything with it. You lost the whole thing. That's pretty bad. And so now, and lost your family. Now, so here we are, and Satan's allowed to go and test him, as you know. And in the wonderful test, now Job, we're looking at providence, God's foreseeing and foreknowing, God's management. Now God, obviously you're in charge of all that's happening. Job, do you understand? I do. Verse 21, he has all of this, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. I brought nothing in, I bring nothing out. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had no problem. He's trying to trust God, and it's all gone. He's looking to God rightly. God's wonderful management, personal. Here's all the world taking place, but God is dealing personally with the believing heart. And, verse 22, and in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He never opened his mouth against God. And we learn to do that, be quiet. No matter how, think of Abraham when he lost his, think of Aaron when he lost his sons in front of him. God took both of them. And Abraham was silent. And Moses said, don't say anything. Shh. They're wrong. God's taking care of it. And it was quiet. Now, God, you're doing what you're doing. And here's Job. Job is giving us an example of the in the most easiest way possible and doing it. And now, chapter 2, remember, Job takes it a step, Satan takes it a step further and wants to go. And verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from hence cometh thou, and Satan's back again. And answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So Satan, think of 1 Peter 5, the devil's walking up and down, searching whom he may devour. So, and sliding verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? God's going to do it after him again. You say, well, God's provoking this. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Why is he provoking it? Because if God doesn't provoke it, the devil won't even pursue it, maybe. The devil won't care. He got other things to do. But God wants him to go after Job. I want you to go after him. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to desire him without cause, to destroy him without cause. In other words, I did it. You want me to judge him? And I did. I let you do it. Verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And therefore put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Remember, his word curse, rightly all the way down, translated good in the Bible. Curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. You can do everything, but don't kill him. Could the Satan kill? Satan could kill, but don't kill him. And that's what he does. See, so he plagues Job. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. In other words, Job has got a plague from his head. His head's bothering him, his hair's bothering him, his feet are bothering him, all over him. He has the, think of having, what do you call it? Not the, well, hives. Anyway, I can't even think of the thing. And you have it. So you got plague all over yourself. Shingles. Having shingles on the roof, on your head, and shingles all the way down. Man, that's bad. That's bad, I got to tell you. Now, so Job's in not a good shape. Verse 10, but he said unto, verse 10, but he said unto his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Remember verse 9, I got to do that. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain integrity? There's your little word, curse, blaspheme God and die. How's that for a good advice? Curse God and die. That's what she said. She said, I love you. Curse God and die. Okay, because you're a mess. Okay, now, verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Evil and good. You have to have the bad. You have to have all of it. We're going to do it, but not now. And all of that, you have to have it. It's just the way it is in this life. You can't be in this body and have your old nature and a new relationship to God. You got them both. You got them both. And you have to live with that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's Job. And Job chapter 3, can you get discouraged and depressed? Yes. But, in Job, hang on in doing it, you can't be looking, you can't be going and leaving God out of the picture. You have to make sure God is in the picture when you're looking at your body and your all the things that have happened. So chapter 3, verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He didn't curse God. He cursed the day he was born. I wish I'd never been born. You can understand that. I wish I'd never been born. He isn't going to curse God. He isn't leaving that. So if I'm going to go and look at everything that's happening in my life, all the troubles and all the events and my condition, I look at it. But make sure you don't bring God into it in the wrong way. That is very real. Your condition, your loss of your sons, the loss of everything, your servants, your animals, the loss of that is very real. And God's very real. And you don't want to lose God in what he's allowing to happen. God has an awesome reason of what he's looking for. Looking for to bring out of Job something that it's hard to get to and find in people. Now, so that as you read, sliding down just a couple of more in verse 3. Let the day perish wherein I was born and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it, etc., etc. Verse 5. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. In other words, it's an awesome time. But when you're all done looking at it, and you look at it from a human, if I was never been born, this would never happen. True. But you would never, 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 if you had never been born. And he's looking at a stillbirth, being born, as you keep reading. If I could just be born from my mother's womb and then die, see? And then I'd be with all the other people that believers that die. If I could just do that. But God didn't do that. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse, I did that one. Chapter 2, picking up, if you'll see it over in chapter, where are we going to go? In chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, now looking at Job, you're going through awful things. In God's providential management, and it's certainly God is on top of this. He's allowing Satan, he's giving Satan restrictions, he's giving Satan freedom, but restrictions. Therefore, for his good reason, chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. 13:15, though he slay me, said Job, still I trust him, but I will maintain mine own way. In other words, I'm going to keep going, working it out with God because of him. God's allowing it all to happen, and I'm going to keep looking to God to help me. Verse 16, he also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. I'm looking to God. So when all of it's happening, yes, if I wasn't born, I would have never had this, but I am born and God's doing it. So therefore, I'm going to go and if he kills me, that's the next. He hasn't done it. Satan isn't allowed to do it. He can't kill me. If he kills me, I'm going to trust him anyway. How's that? If he kills me, I'm going to trust him anyway. That's what I'm going to do. So Satan can go, and so Satan says, what's the sense? Satan has done everything, and the most he could do after this is kill him. And God won't allow him to kill him. So Job said, Job, you hung in there. Right, his heart's right with God. That's why he gets through all of this. How do we get through it? Looking to God. Now, having said that, hanging on quickly over, if I can, to chapter 38. And in chapter 38, picking up, if I may, in 38, and you know Job and all the wonderful things in Job. Here's Job, and Job is hanging in there. His friends are trying to help him understand. Job is trying to debate with them and look to God. So chapter 38, God comes along and is going to help him. Then the Lord answered, verse 1, Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So Job is now having a personal conversation with God, and God wants him to listen to God, what God has to say. Now Job's trying to figure out why God is going to help him. How's God going to help him? In verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where were you, Job, when I had a design and started it? Where were you when there was nothing? You weren't there. Were you there when I began Genesis 1:1 and formed all of the, started it all? Were you there? No, you weren't there either. So Job. So Job, we're trying to talk about the little spot in my life that I'm living right now. The little spot of my life that I'm going through. And God said, would you stand back? There's a big picture, and all of it has to happen. Now, where were you? Here we are, this little spot. In the big picture, you weren't there. No, and you got all those questions. And then he's going to end. Let me do just a couple. In verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, the earth? Whereupon are the foundations of the earth fashioned? Job, how is the earth held up there? How is the earth, little ball spinning in space? How is that held up there, Job? Yeah. And he didn't have a computer to know the answer. Whereon are the foundations thereof fastened? Verse 6. Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? And when the morning stars sang, the angels together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What when God created the earth and all of these things? And then he has all the questions, question after question after question. Look at just 16, just random. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depths? Can you go down to the bottom of the ocean and walk around? Do you know how deep it is? You can't do anything, Job. Job, I foreknow and foreknew. I am telling you, I'm the manager. I'm helping you. Helping you understand what? You aren't in charge, Job. God. And the devil isn't in charge. The devil's limited to what I'm going to let him do. But God says, I have a wonderful plan for you, Job. And what are you going to do? You're going to have to let me manage it, outwork it. That's what you're going to have to do. I don't understand. Hang in there, and you will. You have to wait to get there. You can't know how to do the whole problem till you work through each step in the problem. And you work through the steps, and now you can handle the answer properly. So God said, you got to sit tight. Now, having said that, all if I can in chapter 42. And in chapter 42, Job has finished the test in his wonderful way. He's going to live 140 more years. God's going to bless him wonderfully. Going to double it, in fact. God's going to double it. You can't ask for more than that. God said, I'm going to double it. Wow. Oh, boy. Now, then Job answered verse 1, 42. The Lord said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be holden from thee. That's what Job knows. He knows everything. He understands everything. Verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, said Job, I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, too wonderful, too extraordinary. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, boy, I would have never got this far if you didn't do it, God. I would have stopped you anywhere if you had let me and if you'd listened to me, but you didn't stop it. You let it finish. You wanted to finish the product. You want to finish what you're doing in me. Uh-huh, I do. Now, so therefore, verse 4, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Job said, I have a whole different understanding of you, God. An elevated understanding. We shared it the other day in the service or whatever it was. When we are taken into God's holy heaven, we have an adventure and we have no word for it. We have an adventure where we're going to go and God takes us into his marvelous person in a personal way and we're going to have forever for the journey to learn of God. Not just a lifetime, forever to learn about God. That's what you're going to do. And it will take you, and there is no word forever, so I'm going to use the word eternal. An unending adventure to learn about God. And you'll never be bored, because boring only fits down here. There are no such words in there in heaven. Now, and he blesses them, and God blesses them in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and therefore God will close. Now, hope you got a little bit. Yeah, but there's a little thing that is I use it. It's all been there for years and years and years and years in my life. A little poem up there. spin cheerfully. No, what you want to, what you do is think of a shuttle. You may not even know what that, some may not know, where you make a rug, you make a blanket, you make a piece of cloth, cotton, and you have a weaving where you weave the threads through and sew them and make a pattern, a rug. They have a whole rug or something. Now, so in doing that, keep that in mind. And your life is like that shuttle there, where you do that. And you're going, and you know, to, without turning there, Proverbs 16 and 33 of that. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, outworking is God's. For all of us. He's in charge of the what he's doing. Therefore, the lot is cast into the lap and the whole disposing is up to God. You also know in the New Testament, Philippians 2:12, work out your what? Work out your own salvation. Work it, shuttle, doing, trusting God, looking. That's what Job's doing. We just read a little bit to remind ourselves. Job worked, that's what he did. He had to work through it. That's what you have to do, I have to do, to work through it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So having that in mind, keeping that in mind, now my little thing, spin cheerfully. Think of spinning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, night, morning, noon, easy, hard, much, little, all kinds of things. The snow falls, the snow doesn't fall. And we do what we do. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way we plod, way you plod. Spin carefully, spin prayerfully. Spin carefully and prayerfully, but leave the threads with God as you do. Now, what do we know? Our life is here. Now, do you remember just... Hang on, here's the thing you do. Here's your life working out. And where are you seeing your life from? You're seeing your life from planet Earth, aren't you? How do you see this morning? How do you see next week? How do you see the snow from down here? We don't see it from up there. So all the threads, you ever picked up some rug? I tried to find one little piece of rug where the top is wonderful, but all the little threads that make it wonderful. It's wonderful when you see the top. It doesn't look very good with all the little threads that don't seem to come together. My life doesn't seem to have a pattern come together. Ah, the threads are there. We're looking up and we see the snow falling. God's looking down and sees what he's doing. Big difference. Big difference. God's looking down. On your day, your hour, your minute, he's looking down as they weave. And we leave the threads with God. We leave the hour with God. We leave the day with God. God. We leave the snowflakes with God. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you for we can be together in these few moments. And God, as the thousands of snowflakes fall, millions and billions of snowflakes, and God, the little as they fall, and they're all different, they're all what they are made in a wonderful, wonderful way from the drops of water. God, and here we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. So God, do a wonderful thing in our heads and heart, give safety, encouragement, drive us in snow as we drive carefully, and do all of that and help us in every way. And we're going to thank you that we have the opportunity just to be with you for a moment. God, Thank you for all the moments that lie ahead. And our God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.